Good evening. Good evening, my friends, and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited to have you with us here tonight. As always, big, big, big things going on in the world. Big things going on just about everywhere. Nothing really new today as opposed to any other day. It's just a further expansion of things we've talked about, things we've theorized, and so on and so forth. Just par for the course, I guess you could say. But we're going to look at some of that here in the first hour. Next hour, our guest Glenn Parnham will be joining us. He, of course, is from International Health. They do the Super Silver and a great many other incredible products. And I'd contacted Glenn because I wanted to ask him about allergies. I don't suffer from allergies, but there's just so much particulate matter in the air, so much pollen and everything else that, you know, it's just a mess. And I see the health level of people, even people that don't suffer from allergies, are just taking a beating. And it's certainly not here. I guess the worst place for it is Oklahoma. But anyway, so we'll probably talk a little bit about allergies and whatnot. Now, here in Northwest Arkansas, it hit close to 80 today. And tonight it's supposed to be down in the 40s with a wind chill in the 30s. And then tomorrow in the 50s. So hopefully the pollen will kind of calm down a little bit. It's just really been out of control. I actually attempted to grill out today for dinner, and it was like, I don't know what it was like. It was like taking something out in the rain that can't get wet. You know, you got to quickly pop open the grill and throw the fish on there and then slam it shut before, you know, pollen and little pods and leaves and flower petals come floating down on top of your food, which you just don't want. So anyway, a little sneak peek into my day, in addition to a number of phone calls and all the other stuff that usually goes into a work day, honestly, for me. But, hey, we all work. We all know what it's like. So I'm not complaining. A lot of people have it worse than I do. But it's just one of those things. The weather has been peculiar. The pollen's just been exponential. And, in fact, they're having art contests. People are drawing in the pollen in Georgia. So what does that tell you? I mean, it's pretty intense. So we'll talk to him about allergies. We'll also talk to him about a brand new DVD that Glenn himself is putting out. You know, typically they carry a lot of stuff, but this is something he's doing because he is a clinical researcher and he does phone consultations all the time. This, of course, will be an ideal opportunity for him to address a lot of the common issues that come up and put it on a DVD and then just offer that to people and maybe save him some time. But he's going to be with us here later on, and I'm looking forward to that. It should be a lot of fun. As always, my friends, I welcome those of you listening on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to those listening online, republicbroadcasting.org. Now, is the website up? Is the internet feed up tonight, Thomas?
Yeah, it is.
It is, okay.
Yeah, everything's working. We're up
everything,
and running. So,
everything's working. Don't say that.
Everything is.
I know, but when you say that, now some tragedy is going to occur.
No, everything's horrible. It's horrible. The whole thing's just kaput. It's bad.
Okay.
It's really bad.
All right. Well, that's what I like to hear, because at least it's normal then. You know, the unknown. Everything working perfectly is the unknown. And it's just the more we complicate the process in order to put the show together, the more likely things will go wrong. But I welcome all of you listening, however you're listening. And, of course, you can get a link to Glenn's website off of our website at franklyspeakingradio.com. Lots of great stuff there, courtesy of Webmaster James. We appreciate him endlessly and hope that you can do anything you can to give him a thumbs up, a pat on the back, financial support for his website, any of that stuff, because it is his website. It's his and his alone. So welcome to all of you. Also, our phone number, which you should know at this point, 800-313-9443, toll-free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. We're going to take a look at some news here when we come back from this first break. We're going to take a look at Iran. Now, we've covered it extensively, but as is always the case, even with 4 hours of news coverage about predominantly Iran last Thursday, we must address it again today because there's new things, and new things I think you should be very, very much aware of. So please stay with us, folks. Back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. It is Tuesday night. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Let's talk about Iran, shall we? This one came out yesterday from the Scotsman. Iran is gaining up to 5 million pounds a day from detaining 15 British sailors and Marines as the crisis causes the price of oil to rise dramatically. So when they say 5 million pounds, they don't mean in terms of measurements. They mean in terms of money. So they're making up to 5 million pounds a day, detaining 15 British sailors and Marines as the crisis causes the price of oil to rise dramatically. So they're basically inflating the price, and they're making money off of it. Now, I ask you this, folks. Does that sound like they're ready to let these guys go? Probably not. And we all know this, that if the price goes up, I don't know, let's say it goes up $5, and then things start calming down, like they start talking or saying, okay, we'll return your sailors and your Marines, you know, next week. Well, then the price goes down. Does it go down $5? No, it goes down like $2 or $3. And then if they say, well, we changed our mind, then it goes up $5 more. So it is constantly increasing and very, very little decreasing. And even when the price goes down, we don't see it at the pumps instantly. It has to stay down for a significant amount of time. We all know that. Anyway, it goes on. Since Iran's Revolutionary Guards seized Britons 11 days ago, the price of oil has soared 10%, reaching six-month highs of $66 per barrel in New York last week. According to OPEC figures, Iran exports 2.3 million barrels of oil per day, meaning that Tehran has profited from the crisis up to 5 million pounds a day. By the end of today, the extra cash it raked in could total 55 million pounds extra cash, by the way. And we've talked about this before. We know that the refineries here in the U.S. are slowly dragging their feet, getting up to capacity, even though, you know, we had the daylight savings time early. They knew that it was going to be warm earlier. They knew that the driving season was going to kick in. They knew the spring break was coming, and they knew that people wanted to travel, especially when it's warm. They want to drive more. So they knew there was going to be more demand for gasoline, and they have slowed down the refining process so that way they can make more money and, of course, raised the demand. It's all artificial. Story goes on. While the oil price has risen, the public pressure on Iran was lowered yesterday as more conciliatory stances were adopted. Listen to these great conciliatory stances. Des Brown, the Secretary of State for Defense, said the UK government was holding bilateral talks with Iran over the detainees who were seized in the Persian Gulf on March 23rd. Oh, yes. We're having bilateral talks. And everyone goes, whew, okay, let's bring the oil price back down to normal. Not likely. Said Brown, quote, we are anxious that this matter be resolved as quickly as possible and that it be resolved by diplomatic means, and we are bending every single effort to that, end quote. Iran also seemed to signal a compromise could be possible after Manaker Mataki, I guess, the country's foreign minister, said he was examining a letter from the British Foreign Office about the hostages. He said, quote, this note contains many points which will be considered. However, we are waiting for a change in the attitudes of the British and a moderate approach by this country towards Iran's legal requests, end quote. Meaning what? Meaning nothing. That's not a conciliatory stance. He said, hey, we read your letter, but we're still waiting. Meaning, you know, nothing good is really happening. And of course, the Foreign Office goes on to say how they'll probably have a high-ranking naval official to go and speak to them in Iran, which, again, is not necessarily going to mean anything. It goes on, attempts have backfired in recent days to shame Mahmoud Ahmadinejad's regime into admitting it was in the wrong after the Ministry of Defense released the coordinates of where the UK team was picked up. Neither the UN nor the EU would fully back tough statements from Britain. So the UK, as we mentioned, has issued the GPS coordinates of where their sailors were picked up, and they're offering that up as proof, saying, see, United Nations, you see, European Union, it's time for us to back our play with this strongly worded statement. And that's really all it was. A statement saying, shame on you, Iran. And the UN's like, nah, it's not going to work. And it didn't. Anyway, U.S. President George W. Bush waded into the row, accusing Iran of, quote, inexcusable behavior, adding, quote, Iran must give back the hostages. They're innocent. They did nothing wrong. And they were summarily plucked out of waters, end quote. Plucked out of waters. I'm just impressed he was able to pull off the phrase inexcusable behavior. But anyway, that's Bush, he's sort of keeping the pressure up, saying, no, we can't have conciliatory stances, we just won't stand for that. We won't stand for that standing thing. Hundreds of students threw rocks and fireworks at the British Embassy in Tehran yesterday, calling for the expulsion of the ambassador amid the standoff over Iran's detention of 15 British sailors and Marines. The protesters chanted death to Britain and death to America as they hurled stones into the courtyard of the embassy. They also shouted, quote, the British spies should be tried, end quote. Inside the compound, one diplomat said the atmosphere was fairly relaxed and that no fire or petrol bombs had been hurled over the walls. Well, that's good. Outside, however, student groups demanded that Tehran expel Jeffrey Adams, the British ambassador, and close down the embassy, calling it a den of spies. They also urged Tehran not to release leading seaman Faye Turney, the lone female captive, or show any flexibility until the British have apologized. The student protesters at the embassy were dispersed by Iranian police after 2 hours. So you're saying this is Iran, they're intolerant, why are they allowing this protest to happen? Well, first of all, you can see quite plainly this serves their purpose. Okay, you've got 15 sailors and Marines captured, not spying on Iran, but boarding a ship from India and doing an examination. Now, there's some interesting things that will come out from this, and we'll get into it if we have time. But needless to say, there's a photograph that you may have seen of this gal, Faye Turney. This was taken by the BBC as they were on board this ship right before these sailors and Marines were captured. I find that to be extremely intriguing, but nevertheless, it is what it is. Also, of course, apparently they were hooked up with the U.S., so they had left their ship, which was right there with the U.S. ships, and then they went off and did their thing, and then they got captured. So it sounds a little suspicious to me, and we'll see where it goes. But anyway, this is very interesting. So these protesters, 2 hours, they threw rocks, and they chanted death to America and death to Britain, and the British spies should be tried, and blah, blah, blah. This is a den of spies. Expel the ambassador, right? Well, that serves the agenda. It keeps the tension high amongst the Iranian people. Now, here's where it gets interesting. The demonstrators belong to the hardline Besiege volunteer militia, which is under control of the Revolutionary Guards, who are holding the Britons captive. So there you go. It is the Revolutionary Guards who did it, which we already addressed, and it was subsequently mentioned earlier in the story. And these student protesters were actually members of the volunteer militia. They were like the minor league, you know, sort of thing. It's like, oh, you're just a student now. You can join the volunteer militia. But when you grow up someday, maybe you can join the elite Revolutionary Guard. But these guys are all doing, you know, they're serving the agenda. They're doing this intentionally. It's quite plain. Why? To keep the tension ramped up. Now, why are they doing it? To facilitate conflict? I don't know. Are they doing it to make money? I mean, is the Iranian government sort of giving finder's fees to these Revolutionary Guard members, these minor leaguers, so they can continue to ramp up the hype, continue to make this a big issue, continue to force these Britons to be held captive? I don't know. But I do think it is interesting that, you know, members of the people who are holding these guys are basically protesting, saying that they should be held. Yeah, par for the course. It's very interesting. One demonstrator warned that the British embassy could face a similar fate to that of the U.S. mission in Tehran, stormed with hostages taken in 1980, quote, if Britain keeps on speaking nonsense. They're not speaking nonsense. They're just speaking English. British English. So there's obviously an agenda here, and we've talked about what that's all about. And we've mentioned it. Tony Blair's due to step down soon. Tony Blair is a friend of the Bush administration. The Bush administration wants Iran. Iran knows that if it's a waiting game, first of all, they'll profit from it. Secondly, they know it'll be easier for them. We've covered this last week. We're not going to cover it again. This is an interesting story, though. This came out on the 31st of March. The Daily Mail, written by Craig Murray, the former ambassador, British ambassador to Uzbekistan, and head of the Foreign Office's maritime section. So he's writing this. It's written from his perspective, and it says as follows. Like most senior Royal Navy officers, Commodore Nick Lambert has great reserves of professional expertise and common sense. The Coalition Task Force commander was aboard the HMS Cornwall when 15 Royal Navy personnel serving on the frigate were seized at gunpoint by Iranian forces on March 23rd. The Navy insists that 14 men and one woman were on a routine patrol in rigid inflatables off Iraqi shores. Iran insists they were in its waters illegally. So quite simply this, yes, granted, these inflatable dinghies probably couldn't put up much of a fight based on the Iranian force that showed up to abduct these sailors and Marines. However, the HMS Cornwall was right there. The U.S. ships were right there. So think about this. Imagine this little waterway, and you've got the U.S. ships and the British ships, and then the British ships, you know, the Cornwall. The sailors, the Marines, they hop off into this little inflatable thing, and they go to intercept a ship, okay? So presumably they're close enough, right, where they could do something. I mean, you're not going to say, hey, you guys stay here. We're just going to hop in these inflatable boats, and we're going to motor our way 40 miles. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, obviously. So it'd have to be relatively close, which means that basically the U.S. and the British forces in the Gulf there, in this area, this contested waterway, they were all there. They were all close by. They allowed this to happen, in essence. That's what it would seem, anyway. Anyway, the Navy states 14 men and one woman were under routine patrol, blah, blah, blah. A few hours after the 15 were seized, Commodore Lambert said, quote, there's absolutely no doubt in my mind that they were in Iraqi territorial waters. Equally, the Iranians may well claim that they were in their territorial waters. The extent and definition of territorial waters in this part of the world is very complicated, end quote. So this is where things get interesting. Stay with us. We'll pick it apart when we come back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We continue with the story from the Daily Mail. Again, came out on the 31st. And this is written by the former British ambassador to Uzbekistan and head of the Foreign Office's Maritime Section. So what we've established thus far is that it's very, very difficult to establish territorial waters in this part of the world, is what this Commodore just said. It goes on. His predecessor in command of the task force, Commodore Peter Lockwood of the Royal Australian Navy, said last October, quote, no maritime border has been agreed upon by these countries, end quote, implying that Iran and Iraq, they have no set boundaries as far as their water. It's a contested waterway. It's a contested waterway. They haven't agreed on anything necessarily. Anyway, it goes on. Both officers have told the truth. It is the burial of this truth by number 10, meaning Downing Street, spin doctors, and Tony Blair's remark that he is utterly certain the incident took place within Iraqi territorial limits that has escalated this from an incident to a crisis. Blair is being fatuous. How can you be certain which side of a boundary you're on when that boundary has never been drawn? He goes on. I am best known as the former British ambassador to Uzbekistan, but from 1989 to 1992, I headed the Foreign Office's Maritime Section. For 8 months, I also worked with the Royal Navy and Defense Intelligence Service personnel in the Embargo Surveillance Center, a secret unit operating 24 hours a day from an underground command center in central London to prevent Iraqis' attempts at weapons procurement. We analyzed information from intelligence and other sources, and we could instruct Royal Navy craft in the Gulf to board and inspect individual ships. I was responsible for getting the political clearance for operations just like the one now in question in this exact location, so I know what I'm talking about. There is no agreed boundary in the Northern Gulf, either between Iran and Iraq or between Iraq and Kuwait. The Iran-Iraq border has been agreed inside the Shat al-Arab waterway because there is also the land border, but that agreement does not extend beyond the low tide line of the coast. Even that very limited agreement is arguably no longer in force since it was reached in 1975. A war has been fought over it, and 10-year reviews have never been carried out. But what about the map that the Ministry of Defense produced on Tuesday with territorial boundaries sent out by a clear red line and the coordinates of the incident marked in relation to it? I have news for you, he writes. Those boundaries are fake. They were drawn up by the Ministry of Defense. They are not agreed or recognized by any international authority. Translation. When the British government came out and said, hey, we'll release the GPS coordinates of where our sailors and our Marines were when they were captured, and it'll clearly show that Iran has violated international law and Britain has the law on their side, and presumably the right to retaliate and so on and so forth. We addressed that last week. But again, this guy is quoting experts, and he himself an expert, and what he's saying is that these imaginary boundaries that Tony Blair talked about in front of the media, or that he put forth for everyone to see, are fake. The map is fake. That's a powerful story. It goes on to put it at its most charitable. They are a potential boundary. It is accepted practice where no boundary exists to work by rule of thumb area of where a boundary based on a median line between two coasts might be. But to elevate that to a hard and fast boundary and then base a major international incident on being a few hundred yards on one side or the other is out of order. Negotiating a maritime boundary is horribly complicated, which I didn't know, but listen to this. To set a median line, you agree on a series of triangulation points on both coastlines and do a geometric triangulation exercise to find a line running out from the coast. Of course, both sides will argue about which triangulation points on the coast to use. That's only the start. For territorial seas, you start at the low tide mark, and uninhabited rocks and sandbanks also count. There is huge room for argument. Ownership of a useless sandbank is not necessarily a settled thing. Then it gets really complex. What if the sandbank only appears at low tide or it moves? In this area of the Gulf, the sands shift endlessly. It is, in short, impossible to say where a real negotiated or educated Iran-Iraq boundary might eventually lie. It is also why the instinct of both the Foreign Office and the Ministry of Defense was to play this quietly and negotiate our people back. But then, number 10 Downing Street spin doctor stepped in, seeing a propaganda opportunity to portray Blair as fighting the evil Iranians. Naval and Foreign Office experts were horrified at the notion of publishing that map. In doing so, we entrenched Blair's ridiculous boast that her 15 Navy personnel were definitely in Iraqi territorial seas and claimed the right to dictate Iran's boundary. It's not surprising that Iraq backed the British claims because the map is favorable to them, but it makes compromise on the captives very difficult. It goes on and on and on, but really in a powerful story that you probably haven't heard. Stay with us. We're back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
There is one
and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49. Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
The Republic Broadcasting Network is very proud to present a new educational tool that will inform and update our listeners to the most critically important topics and issues of the day. This new 50 CD collection contains invaluable information, carefully selected from the very best shows in the RBN archives. These standard format CDs have been painstakingly edited to remove all commercials and unrelated topic content. Each CD has been divided into multiple tracks for ease of use and review in any standard CD player. Each CD targets a specific subject matter. For example, Agenda 21, vaccinations, 9/11, depleted uranium, the war in Iraq, fluoride, deception in the churches, genetically modified foods, animal RFID tags, and many more topics. We encourage you to make copies and get them out to as many people as you can. Call and order your library CDs for the price of $150, 800-724-2719, or go to the website rbnlive.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Take it all lying down. Cause once I get started, I go to town. Cause I'm not like everybody else. 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 And I don't. Confess all my sins like you want me to. There's one thing that I will say to you. I'm not like everybody else.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We continue with this story, the tail end of it from the Daily Mail. Came out on the 31st. He goes on, of course, the Iranians cannot equally say, they unilaterally, that these are their territorial waters and act as if they own them. For Iran to detain the British sailors in these circumstances was provocative and bellicose. To hold them for a few hours could have been taken as legitimate, if overly forceful. of indicating their claim to the disputed waters in which the British personnel boarded a neutral vessel. But Iranian behavior in the last few days has tipped over into the plain illegal and indefensible. However, I have no doubt that Blair is delighted at last to have a Middle East issue with popular support before May's elections. Very interesting, my friends, and not surprising at all. But there you have it. Tony Blair and 10 Downing Street faked that map that we saw. And I'm sure you saw it. They posted it saying clearly they're in Iraqi waters. Well, clearly, the American and British forces could have done something to prevent this sort of thing, but they allowed it to happen. Now, you could say, well, if they had gone in and started messing around, that would have ramped this up into all-out warfare anyway, wouldn't it? And it's very possible. So, in essence, they could have said, hey, look, we're not going to go and chance this international incident just on 15 sailors and Marines. I don't know. I just think it's very interesting that it's the Revolutionary Guard who supposedly is doing this. Again, as we had speculated upon last week, outside of the chain of command, perhaps. But, again, I'm of the mind that Ahmadinejad's a player, that he's one of these New World Order guys, and he's following orders just like everybody else. Anyway, this one from April 2nd, you can find this at the New York Sun, nysun.com. American officials hoping for a tougher line from Europe and Britain fear the Iranian government will hold hostage the 15 Royal Marines seized on March 23rd until Prime Minister Blair is out of office this summer. Interesting, because we talked about that last week, and they talked about it in the New York Sun yesterday. So apparently, congratulations to the reporter. He was listening to the show. Good for him. It goes on. That was a concern this week as Iran hardened its line in negotiations, demanding an official apology from London and airing an alleged apology from one of the seamen captured last month, the second such televised confession of a British captive. Yesterday, an American intelligence official said the combination of the provocative aired confessions and changing demands made in diplomatic channels has led the Pentagon and military to conclude that the Iranians intend to drag out any negotiations for the release of the hostages until Mr. Blair is out of office, a move in line with the negotiation tact favored by the mullahs in the hostage crisis with the Carter administration. Okay, so this goes back to the U.S. thing, which again, so apparently the best minds in the military and whatnot have nothing on us because we called that last week. Also, keep in mind the first story I read to you, which came out Monday as well. One of the demonstrators said if Britain keeps on speaking nonsense, that the British embassy could face a similar fate to that of the U.S. mission in Tehran back in 1980. So exactly what our military is saying is exactly what the Iranian Revolutionary Guard is saying. Is that coincidence or not? I don't know. It goes on. While Mr. Blair has not yet announced when he will step down as Prime Minister, the British press wrote in September that he's preparing to step down as the head of the Labour Party May 31st. He will leave 10 Downing Street on July 26th. If the Iranians hold on to the hostages until Mr. Blair is out of office, it would also be a blow to American prestige, as Mr. Blair was the most vocal ally of America's war to topple Saddam Hussein. Now think about this. We've talked about it before. The British people do not view the Iranian people as a threat. At least they didn't before the situation. But now, of course, Blair is receiving popular support. We talked about the media manipulation, how they're quoting unnamed bloggers and posters on various websites and whatnot who are saying, oh yeah, the British are just a bunch of pansies. The Americans never would have let that happen. Just trying to ramp everything up. Well, it's the same thing here. The British people, for the most part, are probably tired of war. Don't you think? I mean, we are. And we're tired of our president. They're tired of their prime minister. They want somebody who's going to be probably, given the state of things, probably the complete and total polar opposite of Tony Blair. Now, we'll get the same thing here in America because for some reason, the American people don't like moderation. They like extremes. Extreme Republican Bush or extreme Democrat Clinton. And in some case, going back and forth between one and the other, Clinton, Bush, and so on and so forth. So what I'm saying here, in essence, is that they may have a prime minister in place after all this who swoops to victory because he's able to negotiate the release of these poor 15 sailors and Marines who have been hostage for months and months and months, much like we saw with Reagan and Carter. Anyway, it's very, very interesting that this would be brought up yesterday because, as I said, we brought it up last week, and it just makes sense to me. And I'm sure it does to you, and obviously it's out here in the media now, so it's official, I guess. The intelligence official told the New York Sun yesterday, quote, there is no hard intelligence right now on the motivations behind this. It is an informed analysis that circulated in the intelligence community. It is one of the explanations thrown out to explain what they are doing right now, end quote. In Tehran yesterday, local press reports said 200 people protested outside the British embassy chanting death to Britain and death to America. The regime has cracked down on almost all protests against it, and the protests yesterday are likely to have been coordinated in part with the state and its allied militia known as the Basij, which we found out is absolutely true. So the whole thing was coordinated, the whole thing was planned, no surprises there. Here's where it gets interesting as well. I'm sure you heard this yesterday from ABC News. An American citizen is missing in Iran, the State Department said today. Sources tell ABC News that the missing American happens to be a former FBI agent, although they stressed that he is now a private citizen and his trip to Iran was on quote-unquote private business and not associated with official U.S. matters. Yeah, I used to be in the FBI, and I know all about all these different shenanigans going on in the world. And let's see, which country is a safe place for me to go? Okay, we're about to invade this country. We've already invaded this country. Hey, I'll go to Iran. That sounds like fun. We'll go see the sights, tour the cities, and go to the Bushehr reactor and pick up a little tiny Bushehr reactor keychain, you know, with this little... I know. It's ridiculous. And you know, it's like get a little Iran snow globe, you know, with Ahmadinejad in it. You shake it and it snows radioactive particles or something. Anyway, it's ridiculous. And a former FBI agent, an American, happens, he's not affiliated with the government at all anymore. And he just happens to go there on private business or a vacation of some sort to Iran. If anybody should know better, it should be an ex-intelligence official. But again, that would imply that he's ex-intelligence, which I don't necessarily think that he is. Very interesting, and Thomas had said, yes, it's like Syriana. You're right. State spokesman Sean McCormick said that the United States had been monitoring this case for several weeks, and today it sent a message to Iran through diplomatic channels for more information on his whereabouts. Now, we've all forgotten, of course, the fact that before this situation with the missing American citizen, and before the situation with the 15 kidnapped British sailors and Marines, that Iran had been warning that in response to the kidnapping of that general who had Revolutionary Guard connections, remember, and he may have defected, which I find interesting that the Revolutionary Guard itself is perpetrating this kidnapping of the British sailors and Marines. So there's a connection there. And I don't rule anything out these days, folks. When we look at manipulation, we look at about various governments and whatnot saying, oh, these guys are terrorists, but they got backdoor deals going on all the time. That's what the intelligence community does. So in that regard, I find it very interesting that nobody's really mentioning the stories where Iran had said, in retaliation for that and the kidnapping of the five Iranian delegates in Iraq at Arbil, Iran has said repeatedly they would kidnap Americans and British and Israelis all throughout the world. So nobody's really mentioning this. But anyway, they're trying to play this whole thing down. The State Department officials say that Iran has yet to respond with any information. Because the U.S. does not have diplomatic relations with Iran, the message was passed on by way of the Swiss embassy in Tehran. McCormick said the United States had been in touch with the man's family and employer, who were the first ones to report him missing. Notice they don't say who his employer is. A senior State Department official tells ABC News the man was last seen in early March in Iran. The official says that right now nobody seems to know where he is, but that the U.S. is asking Iran for any information because that's where he was last seen. According to one official, there is, quote, no reliable information, end quote, that the American is being detained by Iran. McCormick denied any connection between this case and that of the 15 British sailors and Marines being held by Iran for allegedly straying into Iranian waters in the Persian Gulf. Well, of course he's going to deny that there's any connection because people are going to start crying shenanigans when they see these things happen. And I think they should, because this is complete and total shenanigans. It doesn't make any sense. So anyway, there's a lot of stuff happening all over the place. And I don't know. I think it's very intriguing. Now, we've talked about this before, the plans, okay? The plans to go into Iran, pretty much they're happening. Okay, this one goes back a little bit. It's from Stars and Stripes, which is estripes.com is where you can find it. March 24th, lengthy delays in finalizing supplemental war funding could force Army leaders to extend some soldiers' tours in Iraq and Afghanistan, said Defense Secretary Robert Gates Thursday. Do you understand? Lengthy delays in finalizing the war funding could cause Army leaders, force them, to extend soldiers' tours, said Robert Gates. So here we've got Robert Gates, remember, big moderate, complete and total change from Rumsfeld. Nancy Pelosi, she won her election. She demanded that Bush get rid of Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld instantly steps down. Robert Gates, his name is mentioned. He's viewed as this big moderate. He was a part of the Iraq study group, which advocated talks with Iran and Syria. He had actually written a paper saying how important Iran was, that we have to dialogue with them. He gets brought in, and now he starts hardlining it, just like a party guy would. He's a company man, folks. So Robert Gates basically says this: if you guys don't give us some money, we're going to have to keep our troops there longer. So the money is to support the troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, in the theater of war. And he's saying, if you don't hurry up and authorize our money, we're forced to extend their duty. Does that make any sense? That's like me going to, let's say I'm rich, right, and I have a landscaper. And the landscaper's like, yeah, you owe me $50. And I say, yeah, I got to sort it all out through my financial situation. And he's like, well, if you don't pay me, I'm going to have to keep working. See? It's nonsensical. But it goes on, Army officials are planning cutbacks in home station training, cuts in repair of pre-deployment training equipment, and delays in upgrades to barracks and family facilities at stations worldwide if the president's $94 billion supplemental request isn't approved by Congress by April 15th. If the funding impasse stretches past May 15th, he says, officials will consider even more severe measures, like canceling orders on all repair parts for equipment not related to war, reducing repair work at all Army depots, and sharply cutting pre-deployment training of some brigade combat teams. Well, that's intelligence, isn't it? If you want war funding, instead of pulling the troops back home, which really is what you do, right? You don't have money to fight the war, you bring the troops back home. What they're going to do is keep the troops there, but not pay for repair work for any like of their equipment, anything like that. They're not going to fund any repairs, and they're not going to fund pre-deployment training for people who are going to replace those guys. So at some point, when those troops, something happens, you know, God forbid that they get killed and they need more troops, they're going to send in people who have no training. What does that tell you? Does that intelligent management of lives and of money? No, of course not. And completely not surprising. When you start integrating politics into the military, this is what happens. BS. Said Gates, quote, this in turn will cause units in theater to have their tours extended because other units are not ready to take their place, end quote. They've just completely missed the point. It's, again, presenting the situation as having two sides. It's a coin. It has an A and it has a B. No, it doesn't. There's many options. But, well, if we can't afford to send in new troops, we'll just have to keep the troops there. You still got to pay them. So how is this a cutback in expense? Well, we got to cut back here, here, and here. Why don't you cut back on some other things, like paying Halliburton $800 for a toilet seat, things like that. Why don't you cut back there? Well, you can't do that. Ridiculous. So anyway, rather than bring them home, which is supposedly what the Democrats want, they're going to keep them there. So this is hardball, and they're using American soldiers' lives at stake. So they're calling the bluff, saying, look, we're going to keep our troops there regardless. But keep in mind, folks, one little tiny interesting tidbit and factoid. Number one, first of all, no discernible difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. Number two, the Democrats have never said bring the troops home. They've said get them out of Iraq. Huge difference, especially when we're poised to have a war with Iran. It goes on. Democrats have tied the latest fiscal 2007 supplemental request and more than $3.1 billion in base closure projects to plans for withdrawal for all U.S. forces from Iraq by September 1, 2008. President Bush said he will veto any such plan. So it's going nowhere. It really doesn't even matter, honestly. The whole thing with the big drama going on between Democrats and Republicans, it's all for show. It's not real. All right, we continue with this one. April 1st, Jerusalem Post. Now, again, assuming this is not an April Fool's story, which it's not because it's sourced many, many other places, I read this to you. The United States will be ready to launch a missile attack on Iran's nuclear facilities as soon as early this month, perhaps from 4 a.m. until 4 p.m. on April 6th, according to reports in the Russian media on Saturday. Well, isn't that interesting? The Russians have given you a 12-hour window of opportunity on a certain date. That day, by the way, is Friday. this Friday, Russian intelligence officials are saying that the U.S. is going to strike Iran between 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. on April 6th. Now, is that 4 a.m. and 4 p.m. Russian time? Is it U.S. time in one of the time zones? Is it Iranian time? We just don't know. But the point is, sometime on that day. So is that going to be Thursday, our time? Is that really? I don't know all the details. I used to know the breakdown of time difference between here and Baghdad. Of course, that was years ago when we first went in, 4 years ago. But at the same time, I don't know what this means. It's fairly specific. I mean, it's not really specific, but it's as specific as, you know, like the cable guy, right? I'll be at your house sometime between noon and midnight on Saturday. Great. Thanks, jerk. Now I have to sit here and wait the whole time. So this specific, not just a specific date, not just a specific month, but a date and a time thrown out there by the Russian intelligence. Now, I don't think that's legitimate because I really don't think it would be telegraphed as such, but it will be interesting to see if this is a psychological operation to see sort of how people respond to this stuff. Because obviously, happening on Friday, well, who knows? Isn't that a banking holiday? Aren't the banks closed? Things like that. Anyway. We'll have to wait and see. We'll continue the story when we come back. Stay with us, folks. More Frankly Speaking Radio. 3 minutes.
Hi, Steve Shank, Fearless Task Force. Sure, you've got a mortgage and credit cards. Your debt creation is probably the smartest thing you've ever done. How would it be to find $75,000, $150,000, $200,000 or more you never knew you had? Now the task force has strategies to make these debts into virtual savings accounts. Ben Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. By doing nothing more than you're doing right now, because you've used your credit, the right strategies can make the debt part of your financial life the smartest thing you've ever done. Oh, by the way, your strategies cost you nothing out of pocket. Go ahead and check out the debt elimination scams if you'd like to. You wouldn't take money from a loan shark, so you may not want to give your money to a debt shark. For an understanding of what a financial genius you truly are, call 800-409-5633. On the web, mydebtfreepath.com. 800-409-5633.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Catholic Priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whale. And finishing up this story, according to the Russian media on Saturday, Russian intelligence sources have been reported as saying that the U.S. has devised a plan to attack several targets in Iran. An assault could be carried out by launching missiles from fighter jets and warships stationed in the Persian Gulf. Russian news agency RIA Novosti quoted a security official as saying, quote, Russian intelligence has information that the U.S. armed forces stationed in the Persian Gulf have nearly completed preparations for a missile strike against Iranian territory, end quote. The Russian defense ministry rejected the claims of an imminent attack as myths. There was no immediate response from Washington. The reports come as the Iranian chief of staff, Hassan Firouzabadi, was quoted on Saturday by Iran's Fars news agency warning leaders of Arab countries that Israel plans to open a quote-unquote suicidal attack on its neighbors this summer to prevent the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq and the area. Very interesting. He said, quote, I warn the dear leaders and the Muslim brothers in the neighboring countries of the occupied territories that this suicidal attack of the Zionists is threatening them. He said the countries in danger were Lebanon, Syria, then later Egypt, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, end quote. Which ties in with what we talked about before, about Saudi Arabia really sort of a cold shoulder to the U.S. And the reports that the Saudi government had contacted the Russians and said, hey, look, we fear this American expansionism, so we'd like you to get involved and maybe have some military forces somewhere nearby, perhaps in Iran. Very interesting. Also on Saturday, Russia urged Britain and Tehran to resolve the dispute over 15 British sailors and Marines captured by Iran last week. The EU grappled with a double bind over Iran Saturday, the country's nuclear program and its seizure of the British troops, and reported no progress on either issue. A debate about Iran's nuclear ambitions had been scheduled as a key agenda item, but, quote, was overshadowed to a certain extent by the issue of the sailors and Marines, end quote, said German Foreign Minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier, after hosting a two-day EU foreign ministers meeting in Germany. So right then and there, you can see quite plainly that they have said this whole thing is really the predominant issue on people's minds. And the EU has done nothing as of yet, but it's something everybody's talking about. And then finally, this one from Reuters, which came out today. The U.S. could not defeat Iran. Although its military forces in the Gulf are capable of striking the Islamic Republic, Russia's top general told local media Tuesday, said Yuri Balyuvsky, head of the Russian general staff, said, quote, it is possible to damage Iran's military and industrial potential, but it is impossible to win. However, such strikes on Iran would be a huge political mistake, end quote. So, again, sort of stirring the pot a little bit. You've got intelligence officials saying that it's going to happen, giving a date and a time, and then Russian general speaking on the record in the media saying, yeah, it's possible. However, it would be a huge mistake because the Americans can't win that. So, again, it's just playing into the hands of the warmongers worldwide, this New World Order agenda to do such things. And I've got more stories and whatnot, but we're up to a break here. When we come back, our guests will be with us. But what I find to be most intriguing here, folks, is not only has the U.S. sort of ramped up its naval presence, they're also doing overflights in Iran. They've been spotted. And what's intriguing about this is that we might see something huge develop out of that. It's just a little tidbit. It's just a little blurb, but it's extraordinarily significant, I think. Stay with us. We're back in about 90 seconds with hour number two. And our special guest this evening, Glenn Parnham.